This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yes, this is that time of the year when you begin setting goals and plans for your business next year. So as an entrepreneur who craves massive success in the year ahead, where do you even start? Jeevan Sahadevan Devarishlat cuts through the fog of business goal setting by getting you to review your business performance the last 1 year by asking 21 new questions in the 7 key areas that make up your entire business. So you're going to spend some time answering these questions with your team, and you'll be ready to set some compelling goals for your business. Jeevan, welcome. Nice to see you
always
again.
Always good to be here.
First Monday of the month.
Yep.
Okay. So why, and this is something that, you know, we've sort of touched on every year, but it's still something that people struggle with, right? But why do entrepreneurs often struggle to come up with a very good and compelling goal for their company?
Well, one of the biggest challenges with entrepreneurs when it comes to setting goals, of course, most people will take the common route, which is just revenue goals or number of customer goals. But the big challenge really is what has actually happened in your business in the last 1 year, and your goal should be aligned to that. You should take a look and you should actually know what are the areas I should actually be looking at. So many entrepreneurs don't even know where they should actually look at, where to even start, or what were the problems. So I've really made it super simple, as always. I've kept it really simple. If you look at any business out there, essentially there's 7 areas. So whatever business, whatever company you've got out there, there's 7 areas. And what I've done today is I've created 21 questions. So 3 per area. So
okay.
It's like, I mean, I could go on. I could have a whole page per area, but I think for the purpose of time. So we've got, I've selected 3 very, very potent questions for each of those areas.
Okay.
And the answers to these questions is going to really get your brain working. Some businesses are going to get, business owners, they're going to get really stressed out just answering these questions, and many of them won't like the answers.
Okay.
But then this is all the ammunition you need to set your goals. This is what you need. These are the ingredients of the cake.
And this is a good time. It's about
very good time.
60 days thereabouts,
so,
actually.
It's time to start reflecting. It's time to start thinking about the year and what you've done, and what you've done right, what you've done wrong. It's time to get accurate.
Okay. Now, how does an entrepreneur know if the goal is realistic or not? Sometimes we can get carried away.
Yes, of course. I mean, they can come
in.
Like,
moon.
You get all sorts of stuff coming in. Like, and here's what I discovered with goals. I mean, having coached companies now for 19 years, I've discovered very interesting, because I get all kinds of people saying all kinds of things, whether in my coaching sessions or in my seminars. Like this one guy in one of the workshops I was doing, I said, what's your goal? He says, world peace. So, you see, I mean, people come up with all kinds of stuff, you know, world peace. So here's the thing. Here's a really simple thing. I've never in my life seen an unrealistic goal, but I have seen unrealistic deadlines.
Okay.
So here's the thing. So if someone says, I want to be a millionaire. Yes, no problem. Mm. A millionaire by this Friday. Well, the deadline's a bit of a challenge. It's just like someone saying, I want to lose 20 kgs. Yeah, sure. 20 kgs by today, 5 p.m.
Right.
So the deadline's a little bit of a challenge. So the issue here is not so much the goal, it's the actual deadline. So we're looking at the next 1 year. So are you committed to achieving this goal in the next 1 year? So whatever goal you set, you got to look at your commitment factor.
Okay. So, you know, we have visions and mission.
Correct.
Is this the same as goal setting?
So vision, many companies, they set a vision, they set emissions. That's actually far into the future. So that's far away. So I look at it this way. Anything above 5 or 7 years is entering vision territory.
Vision.
So when you set a goal that is really far out, like something that, say, like a 10-year goal, that's more of a vision.
Okay.
It's your vision for the business, because so many things can happen in 10 years.
Mm.
So when it's something more short term, 1, 2, 3 years, that's a goal.
Okay.
If it's less than a year, then you're looking at things like objectives. So the languaging sometimes does matter, actually.
Okay.
So anything less than a year, it's like monthly or quarterly, you're looking at objectives. Mm. And weekly, monthly, quarterly, they're all objectives. And anything daily that you set, I wouldn't call it a goal. I wouldn't say my daily goal. I'd say it's a task.
A daily task.
Yeah.
Okay. So these 7 areas that we're about to go through, right?
Right.
Does it apply to all businesses?
Yeah, it does. Pretty much. I mean, any business out there, these seven areas impact you tremendously, and it could be a small business, a big business. It's just that these areas start becoming departments, or they fall into different departments, different areas as the company gets bigger and bigger. But if you take a typical SME, it's smack in your face. These 7 years is in your face. If you're not making any money, if you're not getting the kind of customers you want, or the revenues you want, or the profits you want, you're messing up in these 7 areas, and you're going to know when I ask the questions.
Okay.
So the questions are going to disturb all these entrepreneurs out there into setting really good goals.
Okay. And this goals, is it done alone or with whom? And
okay, so my recommendation, if you're a small business, is do it with your team. Do it with your partners. If you've got, say, a couple of partners, say three of you, for instance, the three directors, you can even go away. You can have a little retreat and you sit down and study these questions and the answers to them, because it will be some of the best work you've ever done on your business answering my 21 questions.
Right.
It's phenomenal stuff. And I've got many companies have got massive breakthroughs just answering some of the questions, because it disturbs you. It really does.
Okay. Now we're gonna, I'll do this now before the break. No, so we'll do this now. We'll start with the first disturbing question.
Yeah, let's do the first one. So the seven areas again. So the first area. So each area, I've got three questions.
Okay.
So the first area is prospect generation. So in every business out there, whatever business you have, you got to generate prospects. In other words, leads or inquiries. Mm-hmm. What are you doing to generate prospects? So I've got three questions for that. Mm-hmm. And here's the first question for prospect generation. How many lead generating strategies did I run in the last 52 weeks? Now, this one's good. You're going to think about it. Some people go, oh gosh, I didn't run that many. Well, the question is how many? So write it down. So if you wrote three and you've got in the last 52 weeks, you only ran three. Well, hey, you got to do more. So that's telling you why you didn't get many leads. Because the question is, how many did I run? Not how good they were or anything like that, but just how many. So say if you said, well, I did a lot, lots and lots of Facebook ads. That's one.
Mm.
You see, there are many campaigns, but that's one strategy. You may have run many campaigns in that one strategy, but that's only one strategy. If you say, I did LinkedIn, I did Instagram, I did Facebook, now that's three.
Mm.
I did roadshows, that's four.
Right.
So how many lead-generating strategies did I run in the last 52 weeks? That's the first question for prospect generation. So you might want to track. So the business owners listening to this, they want to start tracking. So call up everybody, call up their marketing manager, whoever it is, and check from 1st of January until today, how many did they actually run in the last 52 weeks? Then question two, how many leads did my business generate each week from that? Now, for every single strategy you ran, how many leads did you actually generate? You'd be very surprised, Frida, that out of 10 business people I asked this question, at least 8 won't know the answer.
Mm.
Even those listening, you'll find that you're going to struggle with this question because they don't know. They say, well, I generated a lot of leads. I said, how many per strategy? And then you can break it down into per campaign. Mm. So like say you ran 30 Facebook campaigns. Now, each campaign, how many did you generate? So let's look at the overall Facebook strategy itself. How many leads did you generate? And people go, gosh, I didn't track it. Well, hey, you want to start tracking this. So the second questions are very critical. So you're leading from the first question. Second question, how many leads did my business generate each week from that? It's so critical because that tells you the effectiveness of your strategy.
Mm.
So it's not good to just run a strategy. You want to know that your strategy is very effective. Hence the second question.
Right.
So like I said, it's starting to get a little disturbing now.
I think
even
the first question was already disturbing.
Already, yeah. I've had some people say, Jimin, can we talk about something else? It's like, no,
because
we can't.
If you didn't do the step one, you're
the
not
second one's of no use. Exactly. Imagine if you only ran one strategy the whole year.
And then you fire the coach.
Exactly, you get upset with the coach. So there you go. So that's question three. Now it gets even more detailed. Question three, how much did I spend per lead generated? Here we're looking at this term in business called acquisition cost. So acquisition cost per lead, for instance, if you ran a 2,000 ringgit strategy and you generated 10 leads, then you paid 200 ringgit per lead. So how much did I spend per lead generated? And this one, you peg it to each of the strategies. So for Facebook, how much did I spend per lead? You may find out, okay, I spend like, say, 30 ringgit per lead. Then for say, newspaper advertisements, how much did I spend per lead? That may be 200 ringgit a lead or so on. So you want to know, because business is mathematics. Everything else is drama. Business is just math. I mean, it's just a question of how much are you putting in here, putting in there. It's all mathematics. We love drama. Human beings love to create all kinds of drama. It's just math. So you want to take a look at that. So question three is about that.
Okay.
So this first three was about prospect generation.
All right. And we'll go through the other six key areas after this. Hold your horses. Jeeva Sanjeev from Leverage Lab. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good morning, Frida Liu here, speaking to Jeevan Sahadevan from Leverage Lab. Of course, it's nearly the end of the year. Our topic today is 21 entrepreneurial questions for reviewing 7 key areas of your business before setting your new business goals. We've only covered one key area.
Just one here, 3 questions, one key area. Okay. So the first key area was prospect generation, of which I gave you 3 questions. Of course, I could really go deeper and deeper here, but these 3 questions already get you thinking. So now let's look at the second area. So now that you've dealt with prospect generation, what's the next area? Next area is sales conversion. Now that you've generated prospects, you've got to convert them, close them. So let's take a look back in the last 1 year, how you've been performing in sales conversion when I ask you these 3 questions. First question, what was my average conversion rate? That is basically the percentage of leads that you converted into customers. So what was my average conversion rate? For example, if I talk to 10 prospects and I close one sale, that's a 10% conversion rate. So what was my average conversion rate in the last 1 year? Now, again, majority of business people can't answer this question. Majority of sales people can't answer this question. This is quite phenomenal because I'd see a sales guy, he says, look, I'm really good at selling. I say, what's your conversion rate? He goes, huh? I said, well, what's your average conversion rate? You talk to 10 people, how many did you close? What's your average conversion rate? So you want to know the answer to this question. So go back each month and see, look, what was my conversion? And not just overall in the month, even look at per campaign. In Facebook strategies, what was my conversion rate? LinkedIn, what was my conversion rate? Exhibition roadshows, what was my conversion rate? And so on, so on, so on. Referrals, what was my conversion rate? This information can really change what you think about your business, your marketing, your selling, as well as the kind of goals you're going to set. Let's say you found out that referral strategies were actually one of your all-time best strategies ever because of this. Guess what you're going to be doing a lot more next year? Referral strategies. So that's question 4. Question 5. What were my best 5 strategies to convert leads into clients? So out of all the things you did, what were the best 5 that converted leads into clients, into customers? Let me give you examples. One could be your sales script. Say, I had this one particular sales script that worked so well. That's one. Second one could be you were showing testimonials to prospects. And they're like, hey, God, I really like this testimonial. It could be anything. So you want to know what were my best 5 strategies that actually converted leads into clients. So you keep your mind on this. And the third, question 6 would be, what are 5 distinct advantages of my products and services over my competitors? Now, people are often going to ask you this question. I know you're doing this, but XYZ company is doing the same. So what are your advantages over your competitors? And come up with 5. And so if you can't say some nonsense things like, we give good quality and good service. That's not a competitive advantage. Okay. That's like a car salesman saying, my cars have 4 tires. And all 4 tires are so perfectly round, they touch the ground at the same time. I mean, you want to slap a guy like that. What sort of stuff is that? So what are 5 distinct advantages of my products and services over my competitors? For instance, maybe you have a money-back guarantee that they don't. Maybe your price is the cheapest in the market. Maybe you have a certain range of products that nobody else has. So whatever that is, you want to come up with 5. So this is another tough question, actually.
Right. You know, before you go to the next area also, you know, when the first question even, what was my
average conversion
rate, right? I'm just putting on a BFM hat, right? A BFM salesperson, right? And each campaign is so different. So the amount, some could be a big program and some can be a small program, right? So maybe the conversion is easier for smaller ones.
It could be a better target market as well. But at least by knowing the average conversion, you have an idea.
Right.
Something to work with. Your fingers got something to work on, you see. So but you're right, because even if you target a different market, like say for instance, you're a magazine company and let's say you're a motorcycle company, you want to do an advertisement and you advertise in a motorcycle magazine, you'll get some inquiries. But if you advertise in a women's cooking magazine, you're not going to get anything. So target markets also matter a lot. But yeah, so knowing your conversion rate, it begins the thinking process.
Right.
So you start really going deep into it. And this is again very critical. So these 3 questions of questions 4, 5, and 6, they're all about sales conversion. Now we're going into the third area of business. Now this one is the moneymaker. This is the area, many people have asked me, Jeevan, how have you done it? How have you made companies millions in such a short time? And I've got a massive track record for that, for turning businesses around really quickly. My answer is often this one, this area. So this is often where I get started. So the third area is repeat business. So repeat business are commoner corporate speak would be customer retention.
Yep.
So what are the strategies you have that retains customers? So let's take a look at three questions for your repeat business. Again, you'd be very surprised many businesses do not do this. And just to give you an example, Frida, just remember the last few restaurants or cafes you went and ate at, how many of them actually took your phone number down or your name card or something? None. So you see, there's no chance for you to go back unless you like the food. But there's nothing that they can do to make you come back. So there you go. So let's take a look at the three questions here. So question 7, how many clients do I have since I started my business? Now, this is something you really want to know. Since you started business, how many clients do you actually have over all those years that you started business? I mean, you may have 10,000 clients, 5,000 clients, 500 clients, 35 clients. Mm-hmm. How many do you actually have from the time you started until today? How many do you have? So that's a very important question. Again, many won't be able to answer this question. Like, oh gosh, I don't know. Been in business for 30 years. How would you know? So there you go. Question 8. How often did I reach out or contact those clients in the last year to buy more frequently from me? How often? Mm. Was it once a year? Did I do that? Or did I do it none at all? Or did I do it 6 times, once every quarter? Again, most people don't do very much here, unfortunately.
Right.
So you want to write this down so that it'll disturb you and you'll do more of this next year. And question 9, what 3 strategies did I use to do that each month? So to do that, what did you use? Did you use telemarketing to get customers to come back? Did you use an online newsletter? Did you use a physical newsletter?
Did you take them out for makan?
Did you take them out for makan? Did you hold a party? Did you do that? I mean, what are you doing to get them to come back? I mean, you can look at this at any business. Like today, for instance, BFM, you've got your takeaway. Mm-hmm. And so what are you doing to get past people, participants to come back? Right. And you had the breakaways. What would you do to get the past customers to come back? People who love this show. So you see, there's so much you can do.
Right.
And this is very important because, again, businesses aren't really looking at this. So you want to know. So in question 7, it's how many clients do I have since I started my business? Question 8, how often did I reach out or contact those clients in the last year to buy more frequently from me? And question 9, what 3 strategies did I use to do that each month?
Hmm.
So that is under repeat business. Now we go to the next area, the 4th area. This area is called average sale. So either it's your average dollar sale or your average ringgit sale.
Right.
So the average sale is basically when a customer does come to your business, how much do they spend? So they say they spend 30 ringgit. What are you doing to make them spend 35 ringgit, 40 ringgit? For instance, McDonald's has 6 magic words. Mm. So someone comes in and says, I'd like to buy a burger and a Coke. The woman that asks these magic words, would you like fries with that?
Right.
6 words. And if you say yes, that may be an additional 30 cents to McDonald's revenues around the world. That's $3 billion because people are saying yes to fries. So my question to all businesses out there is, what are your fries? What can you ask someone, would you like XYZ with that? So let's take a look at the questions here. So I've got 3 questions here. Question 10, what is my average dollar sale or my average ringgit sale? What is it? So what is your average ringgit sale in your business? What do people actually spend in your business on average? Are they spending 5,000 ringgit, 20,000 ringgit, 500 ringgit, 30 ringgit? What's your average dollar sale? So that's an important question. And you can even do it by product. Average sale of this range of products, my average sale is so much. For another range of products, it's again XYZ. So that's question 10. Question 11, this is a bit of a long one. List down the total number of products and services I have to offer my clients and leads. So list down the total number of products and services I have to offer my leads and clients. You want to know every single thing you've got. Then you ask this question, what else can I possibly offer them that I don't currently? So first you list down everything you've got to offer your clients and your leads. Then you ask this question, what else can I offer them that I currently don't have? And for instance, if you're a restaurant or a cafe, I use a restaurant cafe example because it's very easy for people to understand. If you're a restaurant or a cafe, what else you could offer could be delivery services, which you don't currently do. That could be an example, takeaway perhaps. So that's a very important question because it gets your brain thinking, hey, you know, people have been spending 300 ringgit in my business. And that's about it. What else can I offer?
You know, but even the question of list down the total number of products and services, right? Don't people know?
You'd be surprised. Mm. It's just not top of head again. You'd be very surprised. People, they just know the ones that are selling very well.
Right.
They're not even thinking about it. I mean, just walk into an Apple shop and say, hey, So what do you have? What are all the single, every single product? It's not in the back of mind. Yeah. They know, yeah, we've got iPads, we've got iPhones, but which is, what's at the back of the mind would be the one that's selling really well. Our iPhone 11 selling really well, and that's at the back of everyone's mind. Mm. You see, but if you really start asking questions, the things like phone covers is not at the back of anyone's mind. So you see, so you want to list it all down so you know, hey, you know what? We've been selling a lot of this. We haven't really focused on it. So you see, you want to think about that. And then comes question 12. What three strategies did I use, past tense, what three strategies did I use to get my clients buying more of what I have? So what did you do actually? What three strategies did you use to get your clients buying more of what you have? For example, you could have used package deals without realizing it. That's when you walk during Christmas, you know, you walk into Body Shop or all these shops out there and you'll notice that they have these package deals, hampers, package deals, and you start buying shampoos, conditioners, soaps, all sorts of stuff. So what three strategies did you use to get clients buying more of what you have? And you'd be surprised because you may have done it without even realizing. So you want to locate what were your top three strategies that got people buying more? So that will then get you thinking about the things you can do in the future as well. Then comes the next area. The fifth area, that's margins. So all this stuff that you're doing is now generating revenues, lots of revenues. So revenues isn't profit until you take your margins out. So hence comes question 13. What is my current average margin? What is it? Is it 50%? Is it 30%? So if you sell 1,000 ringgit worth of products, what's your margin? If your margin is 50%, then you only make 500 ringgit in profit. So what is your current average margin? And you can do it for per product again or per service again. Of course, services, your margins are a lot higher, whereas products can be a lot lower. And then next question 14, leading from question 13. What products or services carried the highest margins and how much of my efforts and resources were dedicated to selling those? So question again, it's past tense. What products or services in your business, that is, what products or services carried the highest margins and how much of your efforts and resources were dedicated to selling those? Because again, many companies are going, I've noticed certain products, services carry very high margins, but no one's done anything. No one's put any resources or put any efforts to sell those because something else is being bought. So you want to pay attention to this. So
I think the Kopitiams get it right. Yeah, the person selling the drinks.
Yeah. Because you see, if you think about it, that's very high margin.
Yeah.
You buy a coffee from these big cafes out there, you may be paying about 10 to 15 ringgit for that coffee. The cost is about 30 cents to a dollar. So to ringgit, you know, so there you go. Margins are ridiculous. So yeah, it's amazing to have that. So next question. So that's question 14. Mm-hmm. Next question 15. When was the last time I spent some time to study my expenses and reduce them? When was the last time you actually sat down and you really studied all of your expenses? Make a list of every single expense in your business, those that are recurring as well as the fixed ones as well as the variable ones. So when was the last time I spent some time to study my expenses and reduce them? You could do what I call Jeevan's 10% project. What's a 10% project? You list down every single expense in your company and then you sit with your team and brainstorm two or three ways to reduce that expense by 10%. That's one way to do it. So if you do that, then your margins have gone up by 10% just by doing this. Next area. So now we come to the next area, area number 6, which is systems and team. So now that we're done with the marketing, the selling and all those stuff that's related to the strategies of generating and keeping your customers, now we're looking at your processes and your staff. Three questions here to get you thinking about systems and team. Area number 6. Question 16. What policies and procedures did I create in the last year and should I create over the next 12 months? So looking back, what were the policies and procedures that you created? For instance, you may have a policy for leave, or how people are to apply for leave in the company, and you created that policy. You may have a procedure for how they're to get their commissions from their sales. So what policies and procedures did you come up? Policies are rules, procedures are how-tos. So what policies and procedures did you come up in the last 12 months, and what should you come up with now that your business is growing and all sorts of things are happening? A lot of businesses don't think about the system. This is your systemizing part. And they don't think about this, so they struggle. They struggle to really keep up with all the sales, with what's happening in the company, people going in and out, people taking leave. They don't really pay attention to this. So this question gets you thinking about your company's systems. Yeah, it's a very important question. What policies and procedures did I create in the last year? And should I create over the next 12 months? Next question, question 17. So the next two, we're looking at team. Question 17, very interesting one. How many team meetings did I run in the last 52 weeks?
Wow, okay.
How many did you actually run? So if you had, say, if you ran them by departments in marketing, maybe you ran 50 meetings. Sales, maybe you ran 30. So you want to list them down. How many meetings did I actually run for in the last 52 weeks?
And the purpose of the question is it too many, too little? What?
Again, you see, again, most companies aren't running enough. Okay. You should have weekly meetings per area. So your marketing team, lead generation, you should have every single week, one weekly meeting. Weekly meeting should be called, there should be at least a minimum of or rather maximum of 1 hour. Should never exceed an hour. And if you're doing it every week, it's possible. If you're not, then it's going to be tough. Sometimes meetings go on for 3 hours and no one's listening.
Yeah.
So you want to do that. So you've got to have meetings for all the important areas of your business. That was many years ago, I did a session on BFM called Impact Point Meetings.
Mm.
It's a method I created. Maybe one day we'll revisit that.
Mm.
Impact Point Meetings is where you break your company into all the areas that have a direct impact or indirect impact on your revenues or your profits, and you design one meeting per week per area. Incredible stuff. I mean, we'll do a session again on that. But the important thing now is, how many did you actually run? So if you look at it and you look at your business, and you'd be surprised. Some people answer, well, I had about 10. I had about 5. Can you really run a business like that? It's ridiculous.
Over a year, right?
Yeah, over a year, 52 weeks. Can you imagine? That's not good at all. So again, you'll never find a company that ran too many. That's hardly ever happens. You'd never run too many. I mean, you may have these daily huddles.
I think when people, when there are too many meetings, because the meeting was not effective. And
yeah,
so that's
exactly.
Why you
which
feel...
comes, which brings the next question, actually.
Mm.
So question 18 is, what was the purpose of my team meetings? So why did you have, do you have it because you just should have one?
Mm.
Or did you have it because you want to solve a problem? Or you want to focus on an area, you want to move something. For instance, in a marketing meeting, say one of the meetings, your discussion could be telemarketing. And the purpose of that meeting would have been to create a telemarketing script and to role play the script until you get it right. So you see, so what was the purpose of my team meeting? So you want to be very purpose driven when you run meetings. So you don't just run it for the sake of running it. You have 52 bullets in your gun in a year. So if you're going to have 52 meetings in a year, that's not a lot. So you want to really choose how you're going to run and what you're going to say. Which then finally brings me to the last area.
Whew.
The most important area in business building. Goals.
Okay.
The actual goal component. But here I've got three questions that make entrepreneurs very uncomfortable. So let's take a look at these questions, because many of them get really uncomfortable with these questions.
Okay.
And they'd rather skip it.
Okay.
But that's the whole purpose of running
and
a business.
And that's the end of the show.
And that's the end. You continue next week. I bet you'll get all kinds of messages. All right. Question 19. How much money did I take home each month from my business in the last 12 months? There is a Jeevan rule here, and the Jeevan rule here is, if you're running a business, you're the owner of a business, you must take home a minimum of 5 figures per month.
Mm.
Whatever you want to call it, you want to call it salary, director's allowance, you want to dividends, whatever you want to call it, you have to take home 5 figures. And 5 figures means a minimum of 10,000 ringgit. Maximum is up to you. It can be a high 5 figure, it can be 6 figures.
And
it's
that should be a goal if you're not.
Exactly. And okay. Some entrepreneurs will come and say, oh, Jeevan, I only took home 2,000 ringgit a month. And that's nuts.
Right.
You ran this business, you paid everyone else, they're earning really well, but right. You took home nothing.
You know, a lot of people say, well, oh, but I plow it back into the business.
Yeah, again.
Right?
So who are you? Who's working for who now?
Mm.
So are you working for your staff or are they working for you? So who's working for who? You see, this is important because many entrepreneurs find this very uncomfortable, and they'll say nonsense like, or things like, oh, you know, you're not supposed to see any money in the first 3 to 4 years. Says who? Mm. You should be seeing money within 6 months.
Right.
So if you're not seeing any money, guess what? Go back to the 6 areas. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
So that's the answer's all there, you see. So this question 19 really is an important question. How much money did I take home each month from my business in the last 12 months? Every time my clients come for coaching, and if their business, they're taking home less than 5 figures, that's one of the pressure points I put
right.
on. I start making them take it.
And this was a conversation I had with an entrepreneur, a chef, right? And she said,
yep.
And she said she realized that she wasn't paying herself.
Yeah.
And that's why the business ended, because, you know,
exactly.
She thought it was profitable, but then she was not paying herself.
Yeah, and you know, and then you can feel good about your business, but you see, business is fun, but profit is better.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah,
if you're not paying yourself.
Thing is, you'll start looking for money elsewhere.
Mm.
That's when you start having multiple businesses, and instead of having multiple streams of income, you have multiple streams of focus.
Yeah.
So you see, so you got to get number question 19 right. You got to get your 5 figures, and if you didn't this year, it's all right. You look at the 6 areas earlier and make sure next year you do.
Okay.
And the, you're still not doing, you need to
and
have
the 20th uncomfortable question.
All right, so question number 20, so we've got two more. Question number 20, how much of that did I invest during the year? So what's the point of taking money from your business if you're not investing some of it? So you, this is a challenge again for many people. I often ask business owners this question. How many properties did you buy in the last 10 years? And they don't like that. You see, they get upset. They say, I said, where did you invest the money? He said, well, I didn't. So this is the thing. When you run a business, you make a lot of money from your business, you pay yourself, and then you invest. You start to invest. You can now how and what you invest, that's a whole different ballgame, but you should look at investing. Now imagine if you were to put aside some money for down payment for a property and you bought one every 2 years or every 3 years. In 10 years, you'll have 3 to 5 properties already, and with the rentals paying the loans and so on. So imagine, so 20 years of doing your business, you'd have about maybe 10 properties already, and you retire on that. So this is interesting because businesses are not doing this, and those listening, you really want to do this. You really want to get out there and start investing your gains. And the last question. So now that you've done the 20 questions, you're ready for question 21. Because if you haven't done this 20 questions, then question 21 would make no sense. Okay. And question 21 is the one that everyone answers first before they do anything else. So here's question 21. What is my business goal for the next 1 year? So now that you've answered the 20 questions, you're ready and you're qualified to have a business goal. Because you're thinking properly. It's more accurate, and your heart knows what it wants. Your mind knows what it wants, and it's time.
And when people ask this question first without having gone through that,
it's useless.
Before,
it's a useless answer. It's just like someone saying, I just want to go to Disneyland. You know, it's a nice, happy thing, but you're not really thinking it through, because you'd be very surprised once you've done the 20 questions, the 21st question, your answers will be very different than if you didn't do it. So when my clients ask, when I ask this question to my clients, they give me an answer. When I start doing a diagnostic using the other questions, the answer changes. So this is interesting. So these 21 questions, they were designed. I designed them to get you thinking, to disturb you a little bit, but with the whole purpose of reaching that spot where you would set the most accurate goal for you and your business in the next 1 year.
Right. November 4th is a good time to ask these questions before the new year and the new decade. Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab, 21 entrepreneurial questions for reviewing 7 key areas of business before setting your new business goals. Thanks for being with us. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.